I've been really busy for the past few weeks. And I think to some extent it's finally caught up with me. And I had a really difficult time putting a message together this week. And this isn't even the one that I originally was planning on, because in the middle of my study, I came across a totally different subject than what I was studying and completely switched gears. And so I generally like to go through a message and refine it a couple times and double check and make sure that I don't have any statements that I'm planning on saying that could easily lead someone astray one direction or another. And, you know, make sure that the scripture I'm using is in context and such things. I haven't had time to fully do that this morning. So I'm just asking for a little extra grace in that some of the specifics that I might mention, you might be able to pick apart a little more than I wish you could. But I still think that if you step back and take the whole concept of what I'm endeavoring to say this morning, I believe you guys will all agree. Even if you don't when I start, I think you will when I finish. Because it's really, in a lot of ways, kind of self-evident. And again, one other thing. It's generally a common practice when you start a message to start very early on with scripture and you build off of that. And I'm going to do things exact opposite today. I'm going to preach most of my message and then I'm going to bring in the scripture because my purpose this morning is to raise a whole bunch of questions, all of which are answered by a certain scripture. So I'm going to go through all these questions and then bring the answer at the end. Well, let me start with prayer. Our Father, I just pray that you will be with me, especially this morning. Help me in my great weakness to speak your truth. Help me, Father, to say things that would be profitable and edifying. Father, I just pray that you would be here this morning in a mighty way. Amen. I'm just going to talk for a little while about religious experiences. True Christianity supplies a person with a lot of true experience. But it's all too easy to place too much emphasis on the experience. One of the main foundations of New Age theology is the concept that experience is the fundamental state of reality. To someone in the New Age movement, what you have experienced is actually more important than what you can see very often. The things you have felt, you have it's actually pretty frequent that drugs go along with that kind of religion. And the experiences that these people have had while on drugs, they judge reality more by those experiences than by what they see with their eyes in everyday life. Because it's such an experienced-based religion. And of course, Christians are never that extreme. But yet, real Bible-believing Christians sometimes have a little bit of this same sort of concept that flows out into their life. If Christianity is real, and if you are a real Christian, you will experience it. But many professing Christians and many true Christians put more emphasis on their experience than they do on the Word of God. And I have found there to be two main reasons. There could well be a whole lot more and a whole lot of things that go deeper than my understanding. But in my little bit of dealing with people, I've found two main reasons that people do so. Either they have had some amazing experience in the past, which they look to for their security, or they feel insecure, and they are looking for some sort of a experience which they think would give them security. They're looking for some experience that would verify what they believe. Dale tells a story of a man who is sure, if I remember the story right, that he is saved because he went to a church once and he sat under a light that wasn't working, and while he was sitting there, that light came on, and it hadn't been working for years. And for some reason, this just means the world to him, and he thinks that he had this experience. And I recently talked to a man whose experience was as simple as an answered prayer. He told me his story. He said, I was in Wausau. I can't remember the reasons that he was there, but he randomly decided that he needed a haircut. So he goes to the barber, and in making conversation with the lady that's cutting his hair, he finds out that this lady was not from the area. She was from California or some place. But she was here just for this time because her dad was dying of cancer. And so she was just here for a few months. The doctor had, I guess, said that he only had a few months to live. She was going to spend those last few months with him. But then, about a month or so later, this guy decided he needed another haircut. And he was in Wausau again. So he stops at the same barber. And the same lady is cutting his hair. I missed a part of the story. I got to back up. After hearing these details, this man said it was just pressed on his heart to pray for this lady. He said, I'm not usually a person of a lot of prayer, but he said, I prayed, and I prayed really hard that God would heal that man. So then he goes back, and the same lady is cutting his hair, so he asks her, hey, what about your dad? And her eyes light up, and she was like, we went back into the doctor, and there was no cancer. The doctor couldn't find anything. He's doing great. This man at the beginning of our conversation was talking about all his doubts. He's like, I mean, is God real? Is this? Is Christianity true? But then he brought up this story and he said, but then I know God is real. I know God's true. And he tells me this experience. He had this experience. And this was his foundation. This experience was his foundation for his relationship with God, for his understanding of God. Everything in his idea of religion was founded on this experience that he had. I had a lady tell me once that she had been raised Lutheran, I believe. But she became a Catholic because she took communion once and she felt God in that bread and wine. And she just knew that transubstantiation was true. She experienced something amazing. She just knew that that piece of bread and that cup of wine had been turned into God. Otherwise, she couldn't have had the experience that she had. So she became a Catholic. One man that I know is convinced that everything is right with him and God because he, as he says, has the gift of healing. When I look at the man's life, from my understanding, I think he needs to be saved. But he won't hear it because he has this gift. He has had this experience. And this experience means more to him than the scripture that I can quote. In Africa, there's a cult called the Zion Christian Church. And there are thousands of people who have become members because of dreams. They have a dream. And these Africans traditionally are, the word slips my mind, but they worship their ancestors. So they have a dream. And they see one of their ancestors. And they're told, go join the Zion Christian Church. So they do. They had this experience. One of the first doors I ever knocked on, I talked to a lady whose oldest boy would frequently talk to his grandpa who had passed away a few months previous. And sometimes they would hear shovels on the roof because her dad would frequently come over and shovel the snow off the roof for him. And so they would still frequently hear the shovels up there. He wasn't there, of course, but they would just hear the scraping. And to her, this experience was everything. This was her religion. To her, this vindicated what she did. It vindicated her lifestyle. It vindicated what she believed. And me bringing the Bible to her really meant nothing because she had had this experience. And it meant everything. People really come up with crazy things. Sometimes God in His mercy will cure someone of cancer or some other disease. And then that person goes on thinking that because of this experience, they're right with God. You hear things all the time like, I used to not be a Christian, but God was really good to me and He gave me this new job and now I believe. They had an experience, and now they believe. I think the one that I probably hear more than anything else is, God saved my life. I was in a car accident. I should have died. But God saved my life. And that's their religion. I try to preach the gospel. And it means nothing to them. God saved my life. And that's their foundation for their acceptance with God. Sometimes even as crazy as I tried to commit suicide and God intervened. Whatever the cause may be now, they look back on their experience with confidence that they're right with God because of an experience. Then there are people who are smart enough to recognize that such experiences as these that I've just gone through are silly. But they still, often as real Christians, sitting in conservative churches, they still spend their life looking for some experience which will give them security. I've known people who have walked around for years asking God to show them His love. And on the outside, that seems like a wonderful prayer. But when you crack it open, you will often find that the heart, you'll often find a heart, I should say, that is looking for an experience. To this person, what he has seen with his eyes and felt with his heart is more important than the Word of God. He refuses to accept the work of Christ as proof enough for the love of God, and he wants some awesome experience. I believe in praying for revival as much as anybody. But I find that a lot of people are praying for a revival that I want nothing to do with. Many people seem to be praying for an experience rather than praying for more holiness. They have read stories of how God has worked in the past, and they want the same experience. We need experiential Christianity. We need Christianity where the drunkard experiences deliverance, where the hateful and the bitter experience love, where the angry experience meekness. The thief is made honest by the power of God. The immoral is made moral. We need Christianity where men experience the new birth. We do not need Christianity where Christians make their decisions by experiences rather than the Word of God. So many Christians think that they are extra spiritual because they look for an experience before they do anything. They pray spiritual sounding prayers like, God, do you want me to marry this person? Should I work this job? Should I live here or live there? Do you want me to be part of this church? All of which questions are very good to ask, very proper prayers to pray. But my question this morning is, in what way are you expecting God to answer you? Are you expecting God to open up His Word and teach you a biblical principle by which you can discern His will? Or are you looking for an experience? I've heard many people say, God told me to marry so-and-so, which thing is very dangerous to say. I'm not going to say, on the other hand, that God never works in such ways, but it's not smart for us to live by experiences. I had a man tell me that his wife was not saved when they were married, but he still believed that God told him to marry her in an experience sort of a way. And I've heard others tell me that God told them to marry someone, and it doesn't work out. Where's this discrepancy coming from? It's not coming from God. The discrepancy is coming from the fact that these Christians are living by experiences. Other people work jobs that are iffy according to biblical principles. But God, as they say, gave me peace about it. They had some experience. Therefore, they're certain it's okay. If people would just take their feelings and their impressions and play them down to the level at which they belong, it would solve so many problems. But instead, all too many Christians live according to their experiences more than biblical principles. Most people would never say it, but they act as if they're looking for a voice from heaven. They want a mountaintop experience. If God would give me some amazing experience, then I would believe that He loves me. If God would give me this awesome experience, then I would be able to live for Him. If I had that experience that that person had, then I would be able to witness. People want God to give them an experience in which He tells them what to do, where to go, who to be. rather than taking the Bible and applying its principles. Some people are Christians based on the Word of God, but they feel like it's not enough. They want more. They seem to think that their faith is weak because they don't have mighty experiences to back it up. And they spend their lives searching for experiences to verify what they believe. Essentially, what people are saying is, if I could have been there on the Mount with the Lord and with Peter, James, and John, then I would know. That is essentially what people are looking for. They're looking for the experience that Peter, James, and John had when on that mountain with Christ. But what I want to do this morning, the purpose of my message, is to look at what Peter said about that experience. But before we do that, I would like to turn to Mark chapter 9. And just read the story once. Reading through verse 9. And he said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. This was the ultimate experience. There is no outdoing this. All these people that have had their mighty experiences can sit down and start talking about the things that they've seen. I was here and this happened. All of a sudden, the crazy things of a man sitting in a chair and the light turning on above him really looks incredibly silly when you compare it to an experience like this. Walking up a mountain with your 2 best friends and the Lord himself, and having Jesus transfigured into his glorified state right before their eyes. Having Elijah, Moses, godly men from years previous come and join in the group and hearing a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. If you're looking for an experience, you're not going to outdo this one. But now, let's turn to first. I have written down 1 Peter, but I'm pretty sure it's 2 Peter. Second Peter, and I'm going to read the whole first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. This is the third time in four verses that he says, remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter says, take my word for it. I was there, and I saw his glory. But there is yet a better way. The Bible. He takes this experience that anybody looking for an experience should look to as the ultimate. And he himself, who was there, who heard with his own ears, he heard the voice out of heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter's idea of this situation is exactly opposite of many people. Many people have the Bible. They've read it their entire lives. They know the Bible. They're a Christian. They've understood the gospel. And they're living their life looking for an experience. Peter said, I had the experience. I was there on the mountaintop with the Lord, with my two best friends, and with two men that came down from heaven to join us. And I heard the voice of the Father. And he says, but the Bible is surer. whatever experiences you do or don't have, remember that the precious promises of this book, as we read earlier in this chapter, contain everything that you need for life and godliness. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that is the contrast that I endeavored to make this morning. Contrasting the way that so many people look at the Bible and experiences to the way that Peter looked at the Bible and experiences. So of course my challenge for all of us this morning is just to look into our own hearts, into our own lives. Think about the way we make decisions, and especially, more importantly than the way we make life decisions. If someone is a little confused on experiences when it comes to things like looking for an experience on what job God wants them to work or who they're supposed to marry and such things, that's very minor. It's very minor. But when someone is looking for an experience to show to them who God is, if someone wants an experience to believe that God is love, if someone wants an experience for any such things, you are on very dangerous ground. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And we thank you for the surety of it. And I just pray for each of us here this morning that you will help us to place our feet firmly on it. Father, that we wouldn't worry about the little experiences that we do or don't have. But Father, help us to live by the principles of your word. Amen. So before we dismiss, the news has probably traveled around fast enough that most people have heard, but Samuel is going to be getting baptized this afternoon, immediately after the second meeting. So we'll be heading down to the Hat Rapids Dam, just down the road, having a baptismal service. And one other announcement is that the Roadies have invited everybody over to their house this afternoon. So you can talk to them for more information about that. And let's dismiss.